Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What was Zion's Camp? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today to answer that question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We have been going through the book, Mormon Enigma, written by two Mormon authors, Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. And as we've mentioned, this is a view of Mormon history, basically focusing on the role of Emma Hale Smith, the wife of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement. We're to the point now where there are tensions that are coming across in Missouri among the Mormon members and the Missouri locals. And of course, there's differences in politics, there's differences in theology, and now persecution is starting to kick up. And we're finding that there's mob violence against the Mormons in Missouri, to where eventually, in November of 1833, according to the two authors, they say that by November, the Mormons took up arms. They mention how a force led by David Whitmer left two men dead in a cornfield. When Lieutenant Governor Lilburn Boggs requested that both sides give up their arms, the Mormons complied, but the Missouri settlers did not. Through November, Mormon refugees gathered along the banks of the Missouri. The ferries could not keep up with the influx of homeless people who made shelters of poles and blankets. But then it goes on to say what, Eric?
In desperation, the church members appealed to the Kirtland settlement for help. Joseph Smith announced a revelation that the members in Kirtland should help redeem Mormon losses in Missouri, prompting the organization of a strange military campaign called Zion's Camp.
Now, here's what's interesting. The authors say that Joseph Smith announced a revelation that the members in Kirtland, this is Kirtland, Ohio, should help redeem Mormon losses in Missouri. That was the purpose of this, what it really is, can be called, is a military contingent called Zion's Camp. They are going to go to Missouri and they are going to redeem Mormon losses.
I think several things that we need to emphasize is that this was a revelation, because Joseph Smith was supposedly a prophet who heard from God, and what the authors say is a strange military campaign. And as we've studied this, and we put a lot of time into prepping for this today, I don't know if people think we just get on the show and just start talking off the top of our heads. No, we did a lot of research, and it is a strange military campaign.
In fact, we learn that when the people in Missouri contact Kirtland, Ohio, Joseph Smith actually responds, and there's a letter that Joseph Smith wrote. It was dated, what, December 10th, 1833, and it was written to whom?
Edward Partridge.
Now, Edward Partridge is the bishop in Missouri, and he is the father of the Partridge sisters, Emily and Eliza.
Yep.
And remember, as we said, those two names will become prominent later on in early Mormon history. So it's Edward Partridge, and who else?
W.W. Phelps.
William Phelps, who was the editor of the local Mormon newspaper there, yeah, who had actually got them in a lot of this trouble by speaking out against slavery.
We have John Whitmer.
John Whitmer, which is, of course, related to David Whitmer.
A.S. Gilbert, John Correll, Isaac Morley, and all the saints whom it may concern.
Okay, so what in particular stands out in this letter to these people?
And I have to say, it's a very long letter. Joseph Smith writes long, and it starts,
he's a wordy person.
It starts off, beloved brethren, and I'm going to say it's about the 10th or 12th paragraph in the middle on 455. This is what he says. Therefore,
this is History of the Church.
History of the
volume
Church.
Volume 1,
page 455. Therefore, this is my counsel, that you retain your lands even unto the uttermost, and employ every lawful means to seek redress of your enemies, and pray to God day and night to return you in peace and in safety to the lands of your inheritance. And when the judge fail you, appeal unto the executive. And when the executive fail you, appeal unto the president. And when the president fail you, and all the laws fail you, and the humanity of the people fail you, and all things else fail you but God alone, and you continue to weary him with your importunings as the poor woman did the unjust judge, he will not fail to execute judgment upon your enemies and to avenge his own elect that cry unto him day and night. Behold, he will not fail you. He will come with 10,000 of his saints, and all his adversaries shall be destroyed with the breath of his lips.
Now that sounds to me like a violent overthrow.
It sure does.
We put that into human terms. How does that equate? It sounds like a military campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's what's odd. That was written on December 10th, 1833. Section 101 in the Doctrine and Covenants was supposedly a revelation given to Joseph Smith the prophet at Kirtland, Ohio on December 16th, 1833.
Less than a week later.
Yeah. And this is what's interesting. In the letter, Joseph Smith sounds like he's really defending the people in Missouri. God's going to bring down his vengeance upon those that are putting them in a bad way. But look at what Section 101 says. Just 6 days later, a supposed revelation given to Joseph Smith, it says, "Verily I say unto you, concerning your brethren who have been afflicted and persecuted and cast out from the land of their inheritance, I, the Lord, have suffered the affliction to come upon them wherewith they have been afflicted in consequence of their transgressions." Verse 4 says, "Therefore they must needs be chastened and tried, even as Abraham, who was commanded to offer up his only son." Now, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
It sounds like within that week period, after he writes this letter, encouraging the people in Missouri that help is on its way, either by some kind of legal negotiations, or God intervening and destroying their enemies, now we find on December 16th, Joseph Smith's getting a revelation that the reason why the persecution is going on in Missouri is because of the people that live in Missouri. The affliction to come upon them wherewith they have been afflicted in consequence of their transgression.
How many times have we seen this with cult leaders? I'm thinking of Warren Jeffs, for instance. Anything that ever went wrong, Warren Jeffs would say, it's the people's fault. Well, I think he's going exactly in the same light that Joseph Smith would have used.
Now that you mention that, remember when we spoke to the leaders of the TLC movement,
yes,
the True and Living Church?
This is based in Manti. It was
right.
A guy named James Harmston founded this church back in the 1980s. He claimed that he was visited by angelic visitors, and he created a church where he was the prophet.
He was a polygamist.
He's still there today. He's in his 80s, and he's got many wives, and he had 12 apostles, and we got to know some of those guys, including Bart Malmstrom, who, after a failed revelation of 1999, left the church the next year after.
That's what I want to bring up. Wasn't the failure of that prophecy, wasn't the Lord supposed to return and all these things were supposed to happen, wasn't it based on the failure of the people?
Well, we interviewed the president of the church the next year. I arranged to have...
And we should mention, the president of the TLC movement is not the same as the prophet.
Right. And his name is slipping me right now of what his name... What
I
his
can
name.
See his face and I can't recall his
younger,
name either.
A younger man, but we interviewed him on tape. He allowed us to tape. And we, in fact, that's on our website. If you type in TLC, I'm sure you'll get the article there. And in that, we wanted to find out what he thought of the failed prophecy that in the fall of 1999, Jesus was returning to Manti. They were going to take over the Manti temple. We had several of the apostles take myself and another friend out to lunch, and they begged us to join the church because the end of time was there. And so when this is all said and done, we're asking the president of the church, what exactly happened? And he looked at us and he said, "How do you know it's not going to happen?"
That's right. I remember now. It's something about time.
Let me finish the story, okay. Because then he looked at us like, "Well, dummies, it could still happen." And I said, "Well, wait a minute. This was last year." And then I realized what he was trying to insinuate, and I said, "Are you suggesting that possibly time could go backward?" And he says, "Haven't you heard of a wrinkle in time?" referring to the novel. And I said, well, has this ever happened before? Has this event of time going backwards ever happened before? And you know what his response was? I'll never forget it. He said, with God, all things are possible. So this is the kind of mentality. They blame the people of that church. They were being blamed because Jesus did not come. It wasn't the prophet's false prophecy. It was the people's fault. And maybe if they were good enough, then time could go backward and they'd be able to have this. This is the same kind of idea. The people are being blamed by Joseph Smith here in DNC 101.
Well, here's the point. The writers of Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith, they talk about the Zion's camp, and the purpose of the army was the redemption of Zion. They were going to Missouri to redeem Mormon lands, spiritual life, loyalty, political power, and church organization. We want to talk about this some more tomorrow, but we're going to kind of leave this book for a moment to go read what another Mormon historian has to say about this event, because he includes some details that I find that are really fascinating. The fact is, folks, whatever they started out to do, they did not accomplish. They did not accomplish this, even though they went there, and many of the people that were involved in Zion's camp felt they were going on a military campaign to take back by force, if necessary, the lands that they felt that were taken away. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. Joseph Smith gets another revelation and they disband. And a lot of Mormons were upset about that. They were actually disappointed that they were not going to be involved in a fight.
And Richard Bushman said that there was a positive result out of all of that, that somehow it bound everybody together because of the hard time that they had gone through.
But what Richard L. Bushman is doing with that kind of explanation is he's ignoring the whole reason for Zion's camp being formed in the first place. There's nowhere in any of the revelations that God tells Joseph Smith, I want you to put these men together. I want you to go to Missouri, and everything's going to fall apart. Nothing's going to work, but you're going to find out a lot of people are going to be awfully loyal to you afterwards. We don't see that anywhere in the Revelation. What Richard L. Bushman is really doing, folks, is nothing but historical damage control.
Yep.
He's trying to make something good out of something that looked very, very bad. And this has actually caused a lot of Mormons to doubt Joseph Smith's prophetic calling.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the subject of Mormonism? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Spring Mobile Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction to Mormonism or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades, including their comprehensive work, Mormonism: Shadow or Reality. If you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 1 to 5. Come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. As always, we look forward to seeing you soon.